And you know we don't give a fuck. It's not your birthday. You'll find me in the club. Bottle full of bub. Mama, I got what you need. If you need to feel a buzz, I'm into having sex. I ain't into making love. So come give me a hug. Get in and give me love. You'll find me in the club.
Deal. Back to what I was talking about originally. I welcomed everyone 18 minutes ago. To all of you, of course, thank you for tuning in. I have an action-packed bonanza of a blowout show for you tonight. Well, pretty big anyway. No explosions, of course. Sorry to all of my listening audience out there that may be into pyrotechnics. Tonight's topic is Ghosts of the Midwest. I will be covering the Waverly Hills Sanitarium in Louisville, Kentucky, the Battlefield of Gettysburg in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, the Willard Library located in Evansville, Indiana, Lip Mansion in St. Louis, Missouri, the Majestic Theater here in my hometown where the webcast comes from, Chillicothe, Ohio, the Haunted Juliet Mansion in Chicago, Illinois, and last but not least, Marietta, Ohio's very own Hidden Marietta Ghost Trek. Our special guest for the evening will be Lynn Sturdivant, noted author and the director of the Hidden Marietta Ghost Trek. And as we do every week, Hot Topics, News Topics, it's current events time. I mentioned earlier where I went through the news segments about 20 minutes ago, after I botched up the whole first half of the show. I'm going to go ahead and skip directly to, we're not going to have Hot Topics, News Topics tonight, unfortunately. We're going to go directly to the issue at hand, and that being Ghosts of the Midwest. Midwest is full of haunted places to explore. Some would call it most of them urban legends, but when the eyewitnesses' accounts line up in one place, that place is then documented as a certified haunting. Although the Midwest is full of haunted places, one haunted place in particular has a very large and a very tragic past normally, that being the Waverly Hills Sanitarium, located in Louisville, Kentucky. And ghost hunters from all over the world have traveled to experience its spiritual activity for themselves. Waverly Hills Sanitarium is now owned by the Mattinglys. Waverly Hills originally operated as a tuberculosis hospital in the early 1900s through the 1920s. At the end of the tuberculosis epidemic, it changed over to a geriatric center. During its time as a working tuberculosis hospital, over 63,000 people died there in the hospital. The walls still harbor the wandering spirits. Some spirits are harmless and seem to be curious, but there are others who seem to act out violently and do not like visitors in their home. Full-bodied apparitions have been seen walking across the hallways. Staff members in full uniform have been seen patrolling the building. The infamous body chute has been seen glowing red at night. The place is not only haunted with patients who died there. Two nurses committed suicide during the tuberculosis epidemic, and their presence has been felt in the building. One hung herself in a broom closet in room number 502. The other jumped from a window near room number 503. Waverly Hills is listed as one of the scariest and most actively haunted places in the world. If you live in the Midwest, it won't take you long to find your way to the sanitarium for a ghost tour. Your only problem is booking a tour date. Tour scheduling begins in early January, and for 2007, the weekend tours are already 2011, the weekend tours are already booked up. You have the option to take a daytime tour with a tour guide helping you along the way, or if you are more of a thrill seeker, you can book an overnight stay, 8-hour tour, or a half-night tour, 4 hours. I've also heard that you can, for $200, a prize you would get. You would put up $200 of your own money. If you spend the night in one of the padded cells in a straitjacket and make it throughout the entire evening without flipping out, you get your $200 back, plus they give you an additional $200 of their own money to basically congratulate you. The society uses the money collected for the tours to benefit restoration and the care of the building. So the money is actually going to a good cause. The price for these tours are about $100 a person for overnight and $50 for half-night tours. On these tours, there is no tour guide. You are basically on your own. However, they do have security posted at different locations throughout the building. Before beginning a tour, you will meet in a designated area and watch an informational video about the history of the building. After that, you are on your own with the ghosts. Other groups that I'm well acquainted with, TAPS, the Atlantic Paranormal Society, has visited Waverly Hills Sanitarium and featured the building in their show. The group did have several occurrences that they could not explain. One was infrared footage of a person walking across the hallway. Also, Things had been witnessed in that area of the building by other people on several occasions. Waverly Hills has also been profiled on ABC Fox Family Channel's Scariest Places on Earth and VH1's Celebrity Paranormal Project. I will be taking my team in 2012 to investigate the Waverly Hills Sanitarium, and we will be spending the night, and I will report back with our own personal experiences and findings. We hope to get footage, photographs, and video recordings to prove that the building is in fact one of the scariest places on Earth, and hopefully, if we're lucky, my entire team will be able to return unscathed. The battlefield of Gettysburg. Between 46,000 and 51,000 soldiers from both armies were casualties in the three-day battle. That November, President Lincoln used the dedication ceremony for the Gettysburg National Ceremony to honor the fallen Union soldiers and redefine the purpose of the war in his historic Gettysburg Address. People travel for miles and miles and wide in search of spiritual phenomenon. The endless search for the proof of life beyond the grave can lead ghost hunters to faraway countries on other continents, but the search for roaming spirits can be satisfied as close as your own backyard or even in your own homes. In fact, some of the most well-known haunted places located in the Midwest would be Gettysburg, the battlefield itself. I have a theory that if you were to build an entire neighborhood on top of the battlefield of Gettysburg, you would in fact have every single house haunted by the end of the night, not because something happened in the house itself, but the property has been completely tainted with aggression, with rage, with death, despair, blood, mourning, sadness, anger, name it. Every emotion was released there. The energy itself has imprinted itself within the space-time continuum of that realm. So everything's acting outside the box. Another haunted location is the Willard Library, located in Evansville, Indiana. The infamous Lady in Gray haunts the aisles of the working library. This haunting is widely known in the state of Indiana. Many visitors and library staff have claimed to see the Lady in Gray with their own eyes, floating just inches above the floor between the aisles of books. No one knows who the lingering spirit is. Some say that she is a former librarian who is attached to the place she loved the most in her life. The prison in Mansfield, Ohio, was used for filming The Shawshank Redemption and happens to be a very haunted location. The Mansfield Reformatory is now vacant, but is home to many lingering spirits left behind after torturous deaths. Some of the most haunted areas include the chapel, the infirmary, library, basement, and the administration wing. I have a very good friend who I had as a host, as a guest on my show about 3 to 4 weeks ago. Her name is Shannon Lusk, and I had her as a guest talking about the Mansfield Reformatory because she works as a curator for that reformatory. The Midwest has many locations that are marked as paranormal hotbeds. The legends have been passed down for decades. Countless eyewitnesses can attest to the truth behind the stories. There are just a few of the locations that are perfect for ghost hunting in the Midwest, but these are only the tip of the paranormal iceberg. There's also a place in the city of St. Louis with a reputation that is quite as ghostly as that's not quite as ghostly as the Lent Mansion. It has served as many things over the years, from stately home to boarding house to a restaurant, but it has never lost the fame of being the most haunted place in the city. In fact, in 1980, Life magazine called the Lent Mansion one of the ten most haunted places in America. The house has also attracted ghost hunters from around the country. Once called the Masonic Opera House, Chillicothe's Majestic Theater was built in 1853 on the site of the first bank in Chillicothe, which burned down, unfortunately. In its heyday, major acts visited this location. Milton Berle, Sophie Tucker, Laurel and Hardy, etc. It has been used for opera, vaudeville stage shows, and movies for over the years. In 1918, the Spanish flu epidemic hit nearby Camp Sherman, and the Majestic was used as a morgue and autopsy theater for the piles of soldiers' corpses. Embalmers worked under the stage lights, pumping blood into an adjacent alley still known as Blood Alley. Since it was built in the 1800s, two past owners have died in the mansion, in the theater, of course. The Majestic, one morning in March 2001, No one saw anything but the alley, which is pretty much ordinary looking. The arch you see spanning the street in front of the theater comes from Columbus, Ohio, where it once stood over High Street, along with several others, for years. Columbus was known as the Arch City for the longest time. Today, mysterious fogs are known to drift in and out of Blood Alley and around this arch. A dead body was once spotted on the stage during a performance. A man in a dark suit and top hat drifts down the aisles floating at stage level, where the house floor used to stand before it was lowered. A ghostly little girl is seen running around in the dressing rooms, and three men who spent the night were awakened by a voice asking for someone named Andrew. Marietta, Ohio, a historic and elegant town nestled at the confluence of two rivers. Visitors come to wander over shady brick streets and gaze at Victorian mansions. They love to browse for antiques and make merry in other restaurants. But there is another Marietta, a city few visitors see, a hidden Marietta that exists just below the surface of ordinary life, a place where the past blends with the present and the line that separates the living from the dead is simply blurred. The entire town is a paranormal hotspot. No one really knows why. Perhaps it's the layers of history and the lasting impact of the people who lived and died here. Or it could relate to the ancient Hopewell and Edina people whose mysterious mounds dot the city. Whatever the reason, Marietta has more than its share of restless spirits. My team and I visited Marietta, Ohio, a couple of summers ago, and took part in the Hidden Marietta Ghost Trek. We received the grand tour from my guest tonight, Lynn, and she took us from one location to another. One specifically is now a pub, like a restaurant, and used to have apartments up at the top. They still do, and a son was angry with his father because he was fooling around on his mother, and he marched up the stairs of this now restaurant and hacked his father and the woman to death before running back down the stairs. And you can still, to this day, hear stomping going up and down the stairs and a couple of blood-curdling screams and allegedly blood stains on one or more of the steps. And there were a few other locations she took us to that were just mind-blowing. And the town itself is so unique because you can walk down the streets and you can see partially windows at the very bottom floor of the building sticking up, but these look like regular windows that are adjoined to the rest of the building. And Lynn explained to us that they actually lifted the streets in the entire town because the town always floods. And they lifted the streets so they wouldn't have issues with the first floors, because what you're looking at now are the first floors covered up, and what used to be the second floor is now the first floor. So they've changed a lot cosmetically on the way this town was laid out. They really didn't have a choice, unfortunately. But that was part of the history and the mystery of Marietta, Ohio. And when we return from our break, we are going to speak with Lynn herself and talk about her book, Hidden Marietta, as well as the town that she does so well with this Marietta Hidden Ghost Trek.
A Monday warrior, mean stride. Today's Tom Sawyer, mean pride.
So disorders are common in the United States and internationally. An estimate 26.2% of Americans ages 18 and older suffer from some sort of mental illness. Now, this figure translates to 57.7 million people who suffer from some sort of mental breakdown. If you find yourself laying in bed on a Saturday or Sunday night hearing voices while you're trying to sleep, well, it might not be that demonic being from another dimension trying to kill you where you sleep. It might just be your mental illness starting to kick in. So if you're out of meds for the night, then I have just the thing. Come listen to my show, The Jackal's Head, on the Soup Media Network. You can check out our Listen Live page only on www.psn-radio.com. See you there.
This ad has been paid for by The Jackal's Head and the War on Terror.
War. It's fantastic. Roswell. UFOs. Flying saucers. Alien abduction. Are we alone? Information regarding this and many other questions about the unknown are only a click away at www.theufostore.com. Theufostore.com offers hundreds of DVDs about UFOs, aliens, crop circles, conspiracies, Bigfoot, suppressed science, ancient mysteries. Log on to www.theufostore.com and request a free UFO Store catalog. Theufostore.com, the largest selection of UFO products on the internet.
All systems are functional.
I'm going to pass the reins to Mr. Jackal, the new king of radio.
Is there life on other planets?
This is nuclear physicist Stanton Friedman, and now I'm a voice in the Jackal's head.
It's the government keeping secrets from us.
This is Stephen Bassett, and I am now a voice inside the Jackal's head.
Want to find out more? Listen to the Jackal's head on the Super Media Network.
The biggest trick the Jackal ever pulled
was to miss the world,
and that he doesn't exist.
PSN Radio The Soup. The best in talk radio anywhere.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same.
It will be right.
There'll be a golden ladder reaching down.
Okay, we're back after the first 18 minutes of the show, which I'd like to apologize for again. I managed to get everyone up to speed as to what I was talking about for those 18 minutes. I had to do an abridged version of it, of course, and partially speed read most of it. Managed to get in the introduction to our current guest we're having. We're having Lynn tonight, of course. She's on right now, and she sounds really good live. Of course, live radio is kind of a pain in the butt, seeing as how I ended up hitting mute accidentally on the Microsoft live chat. Strictly an amateur move. I'm not sure what's up with me today. But Lynn, go ahead and say hello to the listening audience.
Hello, everybody. I hope you're having a good evening.
I hope so, all three people that are listening. I'm joking. I have a bigger audience than that. So tell us, Lynn, how long have you been doing the Hidden Marietta Ghost Trek?
Well, this is the fourth season that we're just about ready to wind up here in a couple of weeks.
That's great. I had a wonderful time when we did the Ghost Trek a couple of summers ago when we spent the weekend in Marietta.
Yes.
Yeah, the Lafayette Hotel was amazing.
It is. It's a very, very strange place on so many levels. I mean, many people feel it the minute they walk in. It's just got very strange vibes.
I knew the minute that Brent and I walked in, he normally doesn't get the spidey sense like I call what I get the spidey sense.
Right.
He did, the minute he walked into that property, he felt it like a cold blast of air. He said, I've not felt this way since living in that house when I was still in high school. The house that he lived in, someone had committed suicide like 5 years before.
Okay.
And every time he was around the garage, back living room area, he felt freaked out. And he had the same feeling the minute he walked into the Lafayette. And I never got a chance to tell you what happened to me the night that we were sleeping in that room, because I specifically requested the most haunted room in the hotel. So they put me in the one where someone had committed suicide. And the reason I knew the difference was because they gave me a quick tour through several rooms. And each one that is allegedly the most active had different wallboard and a different textured ceiling than the other rooms.
Okay.
And I was wondering at first, I asked the gentleman who was giving us the tour, are these rooms where people committed suicide? And he said, I don't know if all of them are, but a lot of them are, because apparently there's been like 13 suicides in the Lafayette.
Wow. Well, there have been a number of deaths there. The most recent suicide was about maybe 7 years or so ago, and it was a Marietta College student's mother.
Ooh.
And apparently, you know, there was some type of a romantic disappointment, shall we say, that was behind that. So that's the
most recent one.
Yeah. The hotel is odd. It's got strange vibes. It's been open since 1918. But there was another hotel on the exact same spot before. That was built in the 1890s, and it was one of these, like, Victorian palaces, you know. It was called the Bellevue Hotel. So I think some of what we pick up in the Lafayette may actually be coming from the time of the Bellevue. Because it was a big hotel. It was essentially the same size as the Lafayette. So if any of your listeners are interested in the Lafayette, it's frequent. Of course, they have a website. It's frequently full in the summertime. But it's a great place to come in the winter. You know, you get a good rate. There will not be a whole lot of snow, and that would be kind of an interesting time to come and visit, I think.
I plan on coming out there again sometime. This time bringing my wife, because she was very interested in the pictures that we took, the video we took. She thought the town looked beautiful.
Well, it is beautiful. It's a charming town, and it's an interesting place.
And it's actually Ohio.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's actually Ohio's oldest town, too, correct?
That's correct. It was the first settlement, founded in 1788.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Yeah, Chillicothe being the first capital of Ohio, of course, in 1803 to 1812, and then reestablished as the first capital in 1816, and then we lost it to Columbus.
Right.
There's a lot of history here. I'm sure that I mentioned some of that to you at... when we were in Marietta doing the tour. I'm sure I mentioned some of that to you, or maybe I just let you go on about your spiel because I didn't want to take any limelight from you because you had a tour group. But
well, I think
as you know,
it's interesting. I mean, it's an interesting town, and it sort of reminds me of Marietta in some ways. I mean, I think
there's a lot of similarities, that and the history of flooding too,
and the mounds.
Yeah, we have a lot of mounds in this area.
Yes. As we do, now, so I mean, there is a lot of similarity, I think.
Okay. Now, I actually have a question popping up from a listener here, wanting me to ask you about the Templar crosses on the gates of the cemetery. Is Lafayette named for the Marquis Lafayette?
Yes, he is the first. He was the first official tourist in Marietta. I mean, Marietta was founded by. Veterans of the Revolutionary War, mostly officers, they didn't have enough money to pay them, so they gave them land grants, which is how they ended up out here. So Marietta kind of looks like a New England town in a lot of ways, and that's because it was laid out that way. Now, as far as Templar crosses, I'm not sure where those are. Is your person talking about Mound Cemetery?
Yes. Yeah, okay. That's the one.
I've not seen those. I would like to. I will go up and look. I will tell you that the cemetery has more Revolutionary War officers' graves than any cemetery in the United States.
Okay.
And the people are like, what? Ohio? You know, it doesn't make sense until you understand who founded this town. So if there are Templar crosses up there, I would assume that they may be related to those people. But, of course, the gate that's up there didn't go up until about, I don't know, 1913 or so. So that's something I'll need to look into. That's an interesting question.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question.
Yeah.
And hopefully I can get a chance to do more. Because we had to kind of rush after the investigation and so forth, we had to rush off midday Sunday because it took like 2 hours to get to Marietta from Chillicothe.
I know, it's crazy.
It's a long drive. Very
yes.
long. Also, mentioning that Marietta was the capital of Ohio's territory, you know, the first settlement, which makes a lot of sense since it's a river town. And
this was the beginning of the westward expansion of the United States. I mean, the people came down the Ohio River. They got on boats approximately where Pittsburgh is today and came down this way. So this was the beginning of the expansion of the westward expansion, as I said. So there's a lot of layers of history, which leads to a lot of the stories that we talk about and some of the odd experiences that people continue to have over here with residual hauntings and just other odd vibes that are around. The town is, like I said, it's old. There's layers and layers of activity here.
Okay. Yeah, a lot of it I experienced myself. Like I said, I never got a chance to tell you what happened to me in the room that night.
Right.
And of course, I just automatically snapped into the reality that a lot of the rooms that had different wallboard and different ceiling textures were rooms where people had taken their own lives or had died. And some of the people that worked there told me that the reason there's different wallboard is because if one were to take their own life with a gun, of course you have matter, brain matter, blood spatter everywhere, and you can't paint over that because it's all oil and gook based and bile, and it's hard to paint over that. So they just put up new wallboard, and the room we stayed in had that same setup, so I knew someone had taken their own life there. And that's also along the main hall where we stayed, where the original owner of the Lafayette, who was known as a prankster, loved to play pranks on people that stayed there. So I wake up in the middle of the night about 3 in the morning. I hear movement in the room, and the street light is coming through our window and like basically bouncing off the table and the chairs that sit there in the corner next to the TV. And there's objects on our table sliding around and moving. And I'm laying here watching this. I'm like, are there rats on the table doing this? And I kind of move in closer, and I had a flashlight with me, and I turn it on, and sure enough, the camera case that I had was sliding towards the chair, and the minute I flash the flashlight, I turn it on, the camera bag falls over onto the chair. And I gather myself, I set up, and I'm like, who's there? Who's there? And then, you know, Brent is at the other end of the room. He's like, who are you talking to? I said, man, someone's sliding stuff around on that table. Look. And he gets up, and he was like, you probably just knocked it over before you went to bed, man. You're crazy. So he didn't experience it. I saw it. That morning, when I was getting ready, someone or something switched the shampoo out of the shower for the hand cream. It had been moved within a matter of minutes between the time that Brent had taken his shower and used the shampoo, and I noticed the hand cream in the basket after I was shaving, before I hit the shower, and then all of a sudden the hand cream is in the shower and the shampoo is still wet sitting on the sink. And I'm like, who the heck did that? So I'm thinking it was the original owner.
This is the second shampoo story I've heard. Another lady told another lady, not that you're a lady, how about this way, a lady told me that she was a single, she checked into the hotel, you know, arranged all her stuff and went out for a walk or something. She came back and her shampoo and conditioner bottles, which she had left sitting on the tub, were both in the sink, dumped. So maybe we've got someone who, you know, doesn't like hair care products.
Someone who maybe had been insulted by, someone who was of the help that was bald and couldn't grow hair.
Exactly.
Wants us to experience the same pain.
Yes. Now the owner, the man that you're talking about, the prankster, and there is a lot of kind of things that happen there with kind of a pranky, practical, jokey kind of feel to them. And some people say, oh, it's like a kid's doing it. Well, that's because they don't know about Mr. Hoag. Mr. Hoag, it's spelled H-O-A-G, but pronounced Hoag, lived in the hotel. His family owned the hotel. He lived in the hotel for about 50 years. Moved in there when his family bought it. He was a teenager at the time. Worked his way up, learned all the different jobs from his father, who was the manager of the hotel. Then he eventually became the manager. And he loved the place. He was so bound up, his whole identity was bound up with it. He was an excellent hotel manager. When he ran the hotel, it was, you know, a top-notch luxury hotel. A lot of people around Marietta believe that he is still there. He died in 1981. He did not die in the hotel. There's nothing weird or sinister or anything about his passing. He was he was a happy guy. He had a great life. But, he may still be there. Now, you know as well as I do, there are an incredible number of stories of people who either will not or cannot leave work.
Yeah.
You know, people who are especially kind of self-made men, self-made women, whose identity is really bound up with maybe a business that they built, something like this. You know, these are the kind of people who in life will not take vacation, you know, can't delegate, this type of thing. Maybe, you know, they somehow inadvertently just can't, I mean, they can't leave.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, it's a pretty common story.
Definitely attach itself to print invested himself in the environment surrounding the Lafayette. Tell us a little bit about the other property you took us to, the theater.
The Colony Theater. Yeah, I have some interesting news on the Colony Theater. The Colony Theater was built in 1918. It was an old vaudeville house. And then later, you know, it became a movie theater. And it has been sitting empty since the mid-80s. I mean, it's a downtown Marietta movie theater. And, of course, you know, like a lot of these types of places, when everything moved out to the malls and shopping centers, they just basically ran out of gas. So it's been sitting there basically slowly but surely deteriorating. And a local group of people got together and decided they wanted to try to save it. So they were able to raise enough money to get this project going. And the Colony is going to be restored and taken back to the way it looked in 1918. And it's going to be open. Yeah, it's going to be fabulous. It's going to be open again for both live performance, you know, plays, concerts, you know, lectures, whatever, and also for movies, because the movie screens are still in there. Now, we have been going in there on Ghost Trek, because there's a number of stories about the Colony, but we have not been in there since June, and the reason is they're working on it finally. So
that's amazing.
You saw it. I mean, it looks worse than it is. You know, when we go in the dark, we see a lot of peeling paint and this type of thing, and it looks really like the building is in really bad shape, and it really is not in that bad a shape. And it should be open within 2 years. This isn't like a 10,000-year project that they're undertaking.
Right.
Here. So that's very exciting for Marietta. But some of the stories about the theater are really interesting, and you know, theaters tend to have stories associated with them. Again, it's another type of place that you frequently hear ghost stories or have strange paranormal activity in the area. And there are a number of stories in there, actually. The main one that goes around town has to do with a guy named Mr. Shea. Now, Mr. Shea was a real person, and he owned the theater in the 20s. As well as other theaters around southeastern Ohio and some up in northern Ohio, too. And he used to travel around to, you know, look over his businesses. And many people have seen Mr. Shea in the theater across the street, which he also owned, which is now where our community players perform. And people have begun seeing him in the Colony. Now, the thing that's odd about that is the people who've seen him in there have been workers. Like electricians and so on. And of course, like these things frequently are, it's just one of this kind of fleeting impression type thing. But, you know, you just wonder about this, and you wonder about, as an old building that's been sitting vacant and quiet for a really long time, and where activity is starting to happen again, construction stuff, people walking around in there, people like us on Ghost Trek, you know, tracking back and forth in there. And then, you know, you get some paranormal activity popping up. So these things are probably related.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt that at all.
And that's an old story set up. You know, somebody buys an old abandoned house and they start remodeling it or fixing it up. And, you know, it stirs up some type of dormant energy in there.
Absolutely. Now, what about the old property that used to be a mental institution that's now like an apartment complex?
That is one of the most interesting things, I think, in town, because everybody forgot about it. And it's just an old brick building. It's still in use. It's called Tiber Way. If anybody's familiar with Marietta, it's between Front and Second Street on Butler. And it's a 1900-era building. And one of the things it contained, the first business that moved into it, was the Marietta Sanatorium, which was a tuberculosis facility, and also housed mental patients. And it's crazy because, I mean, usually you put that right in the middle of town.
You know,
some places tended to be kind of out on the outskirts and so on, even in a small town like Marietta. But the thing about that is when that hospital opened, of course, it was a state-of-the-art facility. You know, they were very proud of it. But it is also, people who live in the apartments which now are in the same part of the building as that the hospital used to occupy, have kind of vague, uneasy feelings often. And just, you know, kind of that edgy, I feel kind of creeped out, things aren't right type of feeling. And they also hear people sobbing and moaning. And I think, you know, it's got to be residual activity from the hospital.
No doubt on that.
I mean, I think that's a no-brainer, yeah.
We captured a lot of interesting images when we were photographing, of course, in the theater. Outside of the now apartment complex, which used to be the mental institution, and then of course the Lafayette Hotel, spending the night there. And what I found interesting about the basement of the Lafayette, the entire floor to the walls, it's all granite. It's all been covered
in
granite.
Tile. Right. It's made to look that way, but it's actually, you know, tile, and it's because of the flooding.
That made sense when you explained that. But the funny thing is, with granite and quartz and limestone had the same properties, they are known for supercharging paranormal activity because they act as a conductor. Much like large bodies of water, they act as a conductive device as well. And our own bodies, being 72% water, some people are more affected by the overall gravitational pull of the moon during full moon season, or I should say full moon week, and or the shifting of the season when the Earth's axis is shifted right before we go into the winter months. It really affects people and their mental stability. And it also allows some people who are more cognitive to spiritual awareness, more perceptive during that time.
Interesting. And of course, the thing that I'm thinking about too is the Lafayette sits at the confluence of two rivers. So I think that's part of what's going on there too. And the other thing, and we mentioned a few moments ago, the ancient people who were in this area, the Adena and Hopewell. That certainly was a sacred spot where the Lafayette is sitting. Now there was no mound there, but still, we know that those people had special ceremonies and so on that had to do with rivers. They're always building near rivers. So the confluence of the Ohio and the Muskingum certainly was important, and I think that's probably part of the mix down there too. I think what's going on in the Lafayette is about 25 different things. You know, I don't think there's one story. I think there are many, many stories and many, many things that are interacting probably with each other.
Certainly would be.
Yeah.
Kind of like a positive and a negative pull from a magnet. It would respond that way, opening a door.
Right. Or if you want to go with the water image more, it's more like swirling currents, you know, that I think are kind of rolling through the
hotel.
Yeah.
Now tell us a little bit about your book, Haunted Marianne. I definitely want to plug that for you.
Thank you. I've got two books out, actually. The first one came out last summer. It's called Haunted Marietta, History and Mystery in Ohio's Oldest City. And this goes into the paranormal, you know, the different reports that we have around here, some of the legends and some of the old ghost stories. And I just came out with another one a couple months ago, which is called A Guide to Historic Marietta. And it's a travel guide, and it's geared for people who like history. And it gets into a little of the interesting things that are in West Virginia as well, Blennerhassett Island, Williamstown, and so on. So both of those books are available on Amazon. And also, I have a website if people would like to contact me. It's www.hiddenmarietta.com, and I'm on Facebook, of course, at Hidden Marietta. If they go to my website, they can look at a little video clip. It says Preview Ghost Trek, and there's a little video clip from Ghost Trek, and it shows a lot of the Lafayette Hotel stuff. So if that's of interest, take a look at that.
Absolutely, I'm glad you shared that with us.
Sure.
Now, that's really all the time we have for tonight. I'm glad you were able to share all of this with us.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Of course, on my website, parksparanormal.com it's parksparanormal.8m.com. That's the number 8, lowercase m, like M&M's, parksparanormal.8m.com. I have a link going directly to Hidden Marietta. I have a banner at the bottom of the site that's connected to you, so people can get to your site through mine as well.
That's great.
And I will continually plug it like I always have, but now after having you as a guest, we'll definitely be doing a weekly revisitation of getting your name out there in your book, so it's more for you, of course.
Well, thank you. And
you're very welcome.
Thank you for listening. I appreciate it. And happy Halloween, everybody.
Happy Halloween to you, too, Lynn. I'll be in touch.
Okay, Neil. Take it easy.
You, too. Thank you so much. Have a good evening.
Okay.
All right. Bye. All right. That was an interesting evening. I really enjoyed having Lynn on the show. Obviously, a very good acquaintance of mine. I will be posting her contact information as time goes along, because she's definitely going to be someone that we'll be plugging and advertising for in the near future. You can discuss this tonight's show through the online forums on www.psn-radio.com, or you can also go on www.soupmedianetwork.com/paranormallyspeaking. And like I mentioned earlier, you can go to my site for Parks Paranormal Research and Investigation, which is www.parksparanormal.com, and that has links to everything that Lynn talked about tonight. So I hope all of you have a good evening. Glad you stuck around with us, and thank you for, I guess, forgetting about the first 18 minutes, which left little to be desired. So, thank you and have a great week. See you next weekend.